Tonight into John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. I'm thankful for how much our God loves us. What he's done for us and what he wants to still do for us. As we said this morning, this day is a day that marks the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. And as they were welcoming and praising him as he entered into the city, some were caught up in the moment. Some were there because they had no doubt followed him and seen him in his ministry throughout the land. And some had heard about what he had done and what he was doing. And they were excited because he was coming to Jerusalem. They were excited because he was coming. And they felt that as he was coming to establish his earthly kingdom and take over what had been left off by the kings of Israel in the past, he would expel the Romans and he would set up his messianic empire and his messianic kingdom, and he would rule and he would bring deliverance and he would bring hope. But what they were hoping for and what they were looking for was a temporal king. They was looking for someone like King David. They were looking for someone who would again epitomize a godly a man and establish a godly kingdom through the power of God. But they wanted to live unto themselves. They wanted to continue in what they were doing. And in doing so, they found themselves at odds with the things that Jesus was teaching and the examples that Jesus was leaving and giving. And as he spent his week in Jerusalem, there were confrontations and there were conversations that took place, kind of like our political races that are going on now. We hear the things that are being said and things that are being said and things that are being done. Just don't seem so civil. Just don't seem so subtle. I don't know about you, but I'm more worried than I've ever been worried. Not that we should worry, but I'm more concerned than I've ever been concerned about the course of our nation. I believe that I've been troubled more by what I see happening in America than I've ever been troubled. I look and I see our teenagers and our little ones. And I'm going to tell you what. Our generation needs to apologize to you for the nation that we're leaving you with. Amen? I would hate to grow up. I'd hate to be looking forward to the nation that you're growing up in, that you've been brought up in. I grew up in a time when I knew freedom. I could go and play. I could let my kids out to play. And I didn't have to worry about every night. You know, there was always the concern. You always had to be wary as a parent. But you didn't have to be concerned at just turning your children out into your yard, put them in mortal danger. The government has always been crooked, but they had enough regard for God and enough regard for his principles that they did actually try to hide their crookedness. Amen? We have always had problems and people who weren't socially adaptable and socially acceptable in our midst. But we kept them in the place where they belonged. It bothers me when I see our nation and our government and Americans now in general clamoring to turn criminals loose. Oh, it's wrong that we got them incarcerated. It's not their fault they're that way. Well, whose fault is it? We all have the choice in life to do right or do wrong. But now we accept wrong as the new normal. We accept crazy. And please don't take that the wrong way. We got some of the craziest ideas that are popping forth from our leaders. We legalize marijuana. It's bad enough that we got to fight the fight that we fight with alcohol. It's bad enough that we got generations of alcoholics, one after another, coming forth. And now we're dealing with a drug epidemic, and we have one generation after another coming forth, and families that just accept drugs and the addiction and the life that it brings as normal. And it's not normal. It's abnormal. But we say that's just the norm. It's just the way things are. Our kids don't know any different. I shared with you Brother Calvin's brother Chris was up at Lakeside and was doing some work in there, and he seen a little girl. He said she's about 11, 12 years old, a walking down the street and a begging her mother, "Mom, please don't buy more drugs. Mom, please don't do this to yourself. Mom, please don't continue doing this." And the mother is shoving her away and cursing her and telling her to leave her alone. He said it's one of the saddest scenes I had ever seen in my life. And he said when the mom was a cursing, he said, "I don't mean she was lightly cursing. She was cursing her with everything that was within her." And she went to the place where she was buying her drugs, and her little girl waited on the curb for her to come back out. And after her mother cursing her and shoving her away, Chris said as she walked back up the street, he could hear the little one saying, "But Mommy, I love you. Mommy, I love you. I still love you, Mommy." This has become normal in America, and this is what we're told is normal, and this is what we're leaving to our children and our grandchildren, because our government will do nothing about it. And young people, I apologize. I can get on here, and man, I can just show you all kinds of things. I can get on here and I can spend hours just looking. I can get on here and I can push buttons and I can do this and I can do that and I can do this and I can do that, and that's all we want to do anymore. I told my folks in adult Sunday school class this morning, we keep clamoring and we keep saying that We need Jesus in our schools. And on Facebook, I see the post that you all put on. We need Jesus in our government. We need Jesus in our schools. We need Jesus here. Let me tell you where we need Jesus and where Jesus needs to start. We need Jesus to get back into the hearts of God's people. Amen. Amen. And when we get Jesus in the hearts of God's people, And he has first and foremost a preeminence in our lives as he once had. We'll see a difference in our homes. We'll see a difference in our communities. We'll see a difference in our churches because people will have their hearts and their minds set on Jesus. I'm worried about the world that we're leaving. I worked this week with some folks on a mercy vessel. Some of y'all know I went up to help them. They rebuilt an engine and had some issues and things. I went up to help them finish up and try to get it done. And I met some of the sweetest people that you'd ever want to meet. Captain Buddy Purrier, who will be the captain of the mercy vessel. Brother James Harris, a brother from Brother Steve Loy's church down in Burlington, North Carolina, who'd come up to help to try to get this thing finished up so they could move it. And they asked me a simple question. Brother, are you losing your young people in your church when they graduate? Are you losing them like we are? I said, yeah. I said, to an extent. I said, there's a few. There's a few that stand faithful. But we're losing so many. I look at what numbers we used to have in our young people, in our church, in our youth group. We're losing. We're losing the battle. And we're blaming it on this. We're blaming it on that. We're blaming it on everything. But we need to go back and place the blame where it belongs. Is Jesus where he belongs in our hearts? Because if our young people knew the family that Jesus was in control of. Let me ask you something. Don't raise your hands. How many families in this church sit down and eat your meal together as a family anymore? You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Oh, no, I do understand. I do understand. I know our lives are busy. I know our lives are fraught with all kinds of different things. I know it's a different time and it's a different day. It's a faster pace of life. But you know what's important? What we make important. When was the last time you sat down with your children had grace at the table? I get so fed up with going around and you see people, and as soon as food is set in front of them, they act like a bunch of hogs are going to the trough and they can't wait 5 minutes to say the grace. I look at them when they're with me and say, you godless heathen, ain't we going to say the blessing on the food? I do it at the restaurants. I do it at the house. Hey, man, you're going to eat with me. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing and give thanks for the food that we're about to eat. You know why they don't do it? Because they haven't been taught. This ain't got nothing. This is just leading up to the message. Hey, man. Maybe I told them this morning, this does preach. It is the message. Hey, man. But see, God's not where he needs to be. If God was in the hearts of the people that claim that God is in their heart, amen, amen or ouch, amen. Amen, we would see a difference in our young people. We would see a difference in our church. We just see a continual, and you can blame it on the preacher all you want to. When the other preacher was here before me, about the same. Amen? Amen. When I was here 40 years ago, got married here, guess what? There's a few more, but it's about the same. Amen. I knew the preacher then. I've known a few of the preachers since then. But let me tell you, it's not about the preacher. It's not really about the church. It's about your heart. Amen. It's about your heart, because if your heart is where it needs to be, and God is where he needs to be in your heart, then we see things happen in our homes. We have devotions with our children. Amen. We pray with our children. Our children know what it is to have God and have Christ Jesus in the center of our lives. Amen. If we have Jesus in our heart like he needs to be in our heart, we see people in the house of God that aren't ashamed to praise God and to worship him in spirit and in truth, instead of coming to church and say, well, we've been here so long. When are we going to get out? When is this going to be over? Instead of coming to get out, they come to get in, and they come to praise God and to worship him, because Jesus is more important than anything else in their life. Our homes aren't filled with every ungodliness. I was talking to Paula. I'm going to pick on her a little bit before. Amen. And she told me, she says, man, I was talking about Legos and Levi's Legos. And she says, let me tell you something. She says, we limit the electronic junk. We limit, which you know what you don't, you're limiting what the world is teaching. You're limiting what the world is progressing and what the world is pushing. Technology is a great thing. Amen. You know, there was a time when if you wanted a copy of the Bible, someone sat down and took years to write you. You couldn't afford a copy of the Bible. Amen. The common man and the average man, if you want to know the Bible, you either had to go to somebody that had a Bible or someone who had memorized the Bible and ask them to share with you the Bible. But technology come along, and old Gutenberg invented a thing called the printing press. And before you know it, it wasn't long that the average man could own and possess and hold in his hand. Technology's a great thing. Yes. Hey, man. But Gutenberg's printing press didn't only print the Bible. It printed Thomas Paine's atheistic rantings about the age of reason. It printed Darwin's book on Darwin, on evolution, Darwinism. See, there's nothing wrong with the technology. It's what we do with that technology. Amen. Folks, I'm troubled. I'm troubled about America, but I'm troubled more about our young people. Man, I love you all like you're my own kids. There's nothing I wouldn't do for any of you if I can do it. Amen. This little one over here, she just stole my heart. Little Josh, he just stole my heart. Little sister has stole my heart. Now she's wanting to try to go away. Amen. And I know God's not in it. Amen. Amen. You're getting that, aren't you? Amen. I love them. I love them all. Man, Zach's over in Guam. And man, I love to read what's going on in Zach's life. And he's all the way in Guam. Yep. Amen. He got married. He's got a new wife. And now, I don't even know her. I met her one or two times. Amen. But you know what? Now I'm concerned and I'm interested in what's happening in their lives. I love our young people in our church. I love you all in this church. But my heart is troubled for what is happening in America and what is happening in our churches and what's happening in our families and our lives. And Jesus was getting ready to go to Calvary, and he knew there was going to be trouble coming. But praise God, he spoke the word. And John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When did he speak these words? When he told his disciples what was about to transpire. When he told his disciples that in just a few short hours, they would all abandon him. In a few short hours, they were going to mock him. They were going to scourge him. They were going to treat him in a way that was so horrible they couldn't even imagine. And they were going to crucify him. He said, but don't worry. I love that song, Brother Steve. Y'all sing it next Sunday. Hey, man, that's one of my favorite of all songs. It was me. They were going to lay him in a tomb, but he was going to come again. And he wanted them to be comforted. He wanted them to be stilled in the trials that were about to face them. And in verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your promise tonight. Thank you for your peace tonight. Thank you for the hope that you give us tonight. Help us, Lord, to take your word, God, and go from this place being at peace and settled in our hearts, Lord, that you are in control. And you're the one that brings us our peace and gives us our joy and helps to strengthen our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen. Do you know that when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he knew exactly what was waiting on him, but his concern wasn't for himself. He didn't ask his Father, Lord, work in my heart, and Lord, Father, work in my life, and God, just change all this so I don't have to face everything that's happening. He didn't look at the disciples and say, y'all know what I've told you is going to happen. You know what I told you they're going to do to me. You know, I need to have a little bit of a pity party here before I go to Calvary. He didn't do that. You know why? Because he put you first. You know why? Because he loved you so much. And he cares for you so much that he was concerned about your spiritual well-being. He was concerned about what you were going through. You ever been around someone and someone you dearly love and you know they're about to face the death of a close loved one? And you're so concerned. And you're concerned for their well-being. You're concerned for their emotional well-being. You're concerned for their physical well-being. You're concerned for their mental well-being. You're concerned for their whole being. You might as well say. You want them to be well. And our Savior is just like that. He's on his way to Calvary. The last meal that he's ever going to eat, he's done had. The last time that he's going to fellowship with his disciples as a man, as a carnal man in the flesh, like they've known him, he's already had. His last conversation that he's ever going to have with them, he's having at this moment. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. He leaves them with three things that are going to help them in the coming trial. He leaves them with three things that we can grasp from him tonight and use in our life as we deal in this messed up world that we live in. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He's in control. He has dominion. He has power in this world. But he can do nothing to you that doesn't have to go first through the hands of God. Amen. The way that we keep Satan at a distance in our lives is to draw closer to Jesus. The way that we find peace in the midst of the turmoil is to accept his word. In verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Jesus wants us to have peace. He don't want us to have worldly peace. He wants us to have perfect peace. He don't want us to have temporal peace. He wants us to have eternal peace. He don't want us to have the peace that man gives that can be revoked and be changed. He wants us to have the peace that comes from on high, the peace that only he can give us, and the peace that settles our heart in the midst of the worst trials and storms that we face in life. If you read from chapter 14 through chapter 16, you find out that Jesus, time and again, tells his disciples that in the midst of their trials, he wants them to have peace. And my go-to verse in the time of adversity, the time of trial, the time of trouble, is in John chapter 16, verse number 33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Whose peace did he say he was going to give? He said his peace. Whose peace was he going to give that's not like the world's peace? It was his peace. Whose peace brings us to the place of finding peace in the midst of our trials and troubles and tribulations? It's his peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall, that means you will. That means it's going to happen. That means if you haven't already been through it, it's coming. That means if you've been through it and you're out of it, it's going to come again. That means it's going to be there when you don't expect it. As a fellow said one time, when you don't expect it, because trials and tribulations are coming. He said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's nothing in this world that can calm you like the assurance that Jesus gives that the world has already been conquered. The world has already been defeated. Satan is already lost before he even went to Calvary, because the victory had already been won because he was a faithful servant and he was faithful unto death. Because he was willing to die and impart unto me eternal life. They can chop my head off, and it's going to be troubling. Hey, man, anybody that says it ain't, you might as well get on the altar. But praise God, I can have peace in knowing. I can have peace in knowing where my soul will settle itself. Amen. The Apostle Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4, he said, in the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that the world can't understand is ours to have as the children of God. Because our peace doesn't rest in the things that are temporal, but our peace rests in the things that are eternal. Our peace rests in Christ Jesus. He wants you to have peace. I'm troubled by this world. I'm troubled by our government. I tell you, I fear my government. Amen. I don't trust my government. Amen. I don't trust them one bit. Amen. I fear my government, but I'm at peace. Everybody's worried about who's going to get elected. Hillary or the Donald is who it's looking like. Amen. Not a whole lot to choose from. It's troubling. But you know who's going to rule and reign? The one that God says will. And you know who we're going to get? Exactly who we deserve. Amen. And that's the sad part of it. But you know what? I can be at perfect peace no matter what they do. Amen. When they come to get my guns, amen, that's all right. I can let them have the ones they know about. Amen. 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 They still got to find them. Amen. But you know what? I'm not worried about it. Amen. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. My peace isn't in this world. My peace is in another world. My affections are set on things above. In verse number 28, he said, you've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, listen to what he said. If ye loved me, he said, ye would rejoice because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Amen. You know what? You know why I have perfect peace in this world? Because I can rejoice in the fact that I know that he's coming again. Amen. The one who came the first time said he's coming back again. And when he comes the next time, he's going to call his church out. And praise God, that just thrills my soul. That brings joy unspeakable and full of glory, because this old world is not my home. I'm passing through. I'm just waiting on this trumpet the sound. Amen. He said, if you loved me, we'd already believe what he told us. He said, I told you I'm going to go, but I'm going to come again. He told his disciples, he said, they're going to crucify me. They're going to lay me in the tomb, Gus. He said, but on the third day, he said, I'm going to raise again. Amen. And praise God, you know what he did? He raised again. Amen. He left from the Mount of Olives, and his disciples were standing there looking. And the angel said, why are you standing here looking? It's party time. It's shouting time. It's rejoicing time. Because the one that you see leaving is coming back in like manner. And praise God, when he comes back, he's coming back for me. Amen. He said, man, we ought to rejoice. I tell you what, I can rejoice in the midst of this old screwed up man. I go around sometimes singing songs, and guys at work say, what is wrong with you? I said, not a thing. Amen. I walk around here sometimes singing. So I sing songs all the time. I'd be in my office there singing songs, and people poke their head in. I sing because I'm happy. Amen. I sing because I rejoice. In Christ, I like a Booth Brothers song. Well, the choir ought to learn that. But I'm still feeling fine. I'm feeling mighty fine. Yes, I'm feeling mighty fine today. Amen. That's a good one. I tell you what, when you start getting down, you start getting discouraged, you start losing your peace, just think about Jesus and just start thinking about what he's done, and you'll start feeling mighty fine pretty quick. Amen. He said, I want you to rejoice. And I tell you what, we ought to be some of the happiest people on the face of the earth. Amen. If they took us out and they throwed us to the lions, we ought to say, hey, boy, come and get me because I'm going home. Amen. We got something to rejoice in. Amen. If you know you're going to die, you might as well die happy. Amen. And you ain't going to die happy if you die without Jesus. Amen. I know in whom I have believed, and I know that I can die happy. Amen. Because I haven't trusted in religion. I haven't trusted in mom and dad. I haven't trusted in anything, but I have trusted in Jesus. Amen. And because I've trusted in him, I can rejoice in him. I can be happy. And then listen, he said he wants us to have peace. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have that joy that only comes. I like Paul told the Philippians over in chapter 4 before he told them about the peace that passes understanding. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Man, here's a man been into all kinds of problems. But he encouraged people to rejoice, to be happy, to have joy in Jesus. Amen. I have peace. I have joy. But he wanted us not only to be imparted with his peace and to be imparted with a reason to rejoice, but he wanted us to have a faith that helped us in the midst of the trials that would come, not to let our joy and our peace diminish. That's right. Amen. Look at what he said in verse number 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass. Aren't you thankful for the word? Amen. Ain't you thankful for the things it has told you? Aren't you thankful for it? You know why I like John 16:33? Because it is so true. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Anybody ever not been through a tribulation here? I know some that are going through tribulations right now. Yes. Amen. Some have shared with me some of the things that are going on. Some are going through health tribulations. Some are going through family tribulations. Some are going through job tribulations. Some are just going through life tribulations. Amen. All of the above. Amen. Praise God. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. You can have joy in the midst of your tribulations, but he said, we need to have faith. We need to have faith to reinforce our joy and our peace. Because without faith, without something to cling to, it's hard to hold on to the joy. It's hard to hold on to the peace. So he says, now I have told you. I'm glad the word tells us. Amen. Before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. You know, there's so many people who don't believe. So many people who don't trust in God. So many people who've not committed to him everything. Their faith is weak. Their faith is wavering because they haven't trusted Jesus. And when trials come, their joy disappears. When trial comes, their peace is gone. And they can't find peace. And they can't find joy. They can't find happiness because they don't really believe. They don't have their faith anchored in the right thing. Man, they're anchored in their church. Ain't no Baptist church ever saved anybody. Jesus has. Amen. Ain't no Baptist preacher ever saved anybody. Praise God, Jesus does. Ain't no Sunday school teacher. Ain't no good people ever done anything, but Jesus has done it all. Amen. Amen. But we get our faith wrapped up in preachers, in religion. We get it wrapped up in people, and they let us down. And our joy is gone, our peace is gone, and we blame everything but ourselves. Because we didn't have our faith anchored in the right thing. Amen? Y'all know where I'm coming from. You know what I'm trying to tell you? You know what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples? He said, I've told you what's going to happen before it happens. So when it does happen, you can believe. Your faith can be strong. Amen? We have prophecies in the Bible fulfilled and undisputedly fulfilled. Amen? Promises in God's word that are fulfilled. The Apostle Paul said, in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves without natural affection. Man goes on that, man, it just pictures the world that we live in today. He said, I've told you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you can't believe. His word is so important. Don't believe in Jesus because I say so. Believe in him because his word tells us what was going to happen. He told us that they were going to crucify him. He told us that he was going to raise again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He told us that he was going to ascend back to the Father, but that he was going to come back again and step out on the clouds. The shout would go up, the trumpet would sound, and the dead in Christ would raise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds forever to be with the Lord. He told us before it happened. Amen. Amen. So that we can anchor our faith not in I went to Charlestown Baptist Church, not in I heard Dennis Gilbert preach, not that Joanne Gilley led me to the Lord in a Sunday school class, but that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my faith is strong because I believe the Word. My faith is strong because I believe every promise that he's given. My faith is strong and I can't lose my joy. My faith is strong. I can't lose my peace. My faith is strong because my joy is real and my peace is there. Amen. My joy is great because my faith is strong and my peace is settled in him. Amen. He said, I told you that you might believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Didn't he say that if we would call upon his name, we would have eternal life? Didn't he promise in his word that he could raise it? Didn't he show his disciples time and time again that he didn't fear death and death feared him? Amen. How when he walked into the place where death was, what happened? The dead were raised alive. When he went to the cemetery to call on Lazarus, amen, to raise Lazarus, he had to call Lazarus by name. Why do you think that was? Amen. You got it right, Brother Ernie. Amen. If he had just said, come forth, everybody in the cemetery would have come out. It would have defeated his purpose. He wanted them to know that he had the power to touch the individual life, and he could touch your life just like he touched my life, just like he touched Lazarus's life. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, he's an awesome God. And I hope you know him tonight as your Savior. Because when he abides in your heart, and he's the one that's on the throne, and he's the one that's in control, everything else comes right in your life. Amen. Family will be right. Relationships will be right. Church will be right. Amen. Because we'll be happy in the Lord. Our peace is settled in Him. Our joy comes from Him because we placed our faith in Him. Christian, if you're trying to walk this life without having Jesus where He belongs, you'll never know His peace. You'll never know His joy. You'll never know true faith until you wholly and completely and fully trust in Him. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, I've told you things so that you would know. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, I've got peace, not as the world gives. The world's ideal of peace is to take a vacation. But when vacation's over, reality's still there. The world's ideal peace is to give you a pill. But when the pill wears off, reality is still there. Amen. The world's ideal peace is to get wrapped up in something to take your mind off of it. But when something is finished, everything else is still there. Jesus has everything you need. He has peace. He has joy. And there's nothing that will strengthen your faith more than trusting and depending on Him from day to day and moment to moment.